physical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. We are Carolyn and Metaphysical Conversations, and it's Monday, April Fool's Day, and we are 13 weeks out of 52 into 2024, and let's see, Jay, let me just bring in Jay real quick here.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. How are you doing, Carolyn?
Yeah, I'm doing good. So are we able to take in-depth questions today on the phone? I forgot to ask you.
No, well, not on the phone. I literally was trying to work my magic to get the phone lines open this morning, and I'm having trouble once again. So I'm going to have to do some deep diving to figure out what is going on, because I normally don't have any trouble, but now 2 weeks in a row I have had trouble. So I'm not sure what's happening, but please come find us online. We're also online and available to chat with us via Facebook and a private Facebook group, and you can do that by searching 12 Radio, all one word, the number 1, the number 2 Radio, over on Facebook. That will take you to the group. Invite yourself in. I'll get you approved while we're live on the air, and then you'll see our banner there at the top of the page, and you'll still be able to communicate with Carolyn and I.
Cool. Okay, so you know, Jay and I decided to talk today about recognizing emotional intelligence and the practice of it. And, you know, when we talk about this, too, I'm thinking when you're going for a mate or, you know, to date somebody, you really want to make sure that this is part of the package, that they have emotional intelligence. And you can see that they're well balanced there. But, you know, emotional intelligence is something you can develop and strengthen over time. You know, it's through your self-awareness and practice and intentional efforts. And we'll talk about some of those ways that we can do that. You know, like for instance, self-awareness. You know, you have to have a good understanding of your own emotions and your strengths and weaknesses and values. And and hopefully the values of some of them will be you're well-meaning and you're morally right, and you have some wisdom and trustworthiness, that kind of thing. What do you think, Jay? Yeah. So you're looking for somebody that's, you know, for sure, like control, you can control impulse behaviors, you know, and that's what you're looking for, right? I mean, you want somebody who, you know, that's kind of managing their anxiety and their stress as well, and can, you know, can control their composure with resilience. So, you know, you don't want somebody who's going to be fighting with you all the time, right? So you learn ways to reduce your stress through self-reflection. Some of those maybe, you know, just journaling or meditation or mindfulness practices. Those can be helpful tools to become more self-aware and where you regulate yourself and just really feel like you're ground more a little more grounded for a situation or a conversation.
I have to say, it's like the little things, like being grounded, that can make all the difference in the world. I feel it can bring out a different side of our personality. And I think that we can think, oh, that's just taking a little time, putting my feet in the bare grass or going to the water and putting my feet in. It can be that, but it also can just be a meditation and intention to connect and to be connected. That can do the trick too. And because it's so quick and simple to do, we oftentimes can forget it and also forget the power of it. But I feel especially in relationships and when we're getting to know someone for the first time, it's very important to be grounded so we can really be an observer and really be like fully present. And I think that really helps us.
That's right. The fully present is so important. It so you get fully engaged when they speak, right? So you're there and you practice active listening, right? It's really important to be present for that. And you put yourself in their shoes when they're speaking and really understand from their perspective their emotions around what they may be speaking about, right?
Correct. Correct. And if you truly have an emotional connection and a chemistry kind of connection, or is it something that you're just projecting onto that person? And not even realizing it. I feel like when we're grounded, we can kind of see those things when we do those things.
Well, if you're not sure about the emotion, you would ask, or this is feeling, heart-wrenching, right? This is really feeling, and see if you're right. You check yourself out rather than engaging and I wonder if I'm not understanding him.
And that's a great thing to remember.
Yeah.
Ask instead of assume,
Yeah.
because especially with a new person, we can tell a story about what someone's thinking and it can be all wrong, like all wrong.
Yeah.
And the only way to know the difference is to, like Carolyn said, is to ask, take a second to really make sure what you think they're saying or what you think they're feeling or trying to communicate is really what they're actually communicating.
Yeah, so cultivate some active listening. And use your empathy too, and demonstrate it with them, and validate their emotions. Offer support and understanding without judgment. So it's that's those are important qualities you'll want to have present. What about how are some ways that maybe we should talk more ways to manage your emotions and build resilience, like deep breathing, to maintain your composure under pressure. Do some deep breaths, and visualize to regulate your emotions. See it going through. See this conversation going well. So, you have to develop your coping strategies for handling stress. Through these things and through really grabbing your positive mindset to move through situations.
I like that a lot because again, these things can feel like simple and why do I even need to do this? But it's oftentimes the simple is the most powerful. And so deep breathing, for example, conscious breathing, and even if you have to get up and excuse yourself, go to the restroom so you have a few minutes to do it there, whatever you need to do to maintain yourself, because they're doing whatever they need to do to maintain themselves, and it's important for you to be managing and doing whatever you need to do you. And this can be difficult, I know, as an empath, and many of you listening are empaths. It can be so hard to do that because we just so like quickly tune into the other person, like without even thinking about it. And so that's something to consider too, taking a beat before you let yourself do that, like notice, like if you can hold back needing to read somebody completely, in order to feel like you know what you're dealing with before you walk in. Because that's another way of, yes, knowing what you're dealing with before you come in, yes, but it's also not allowing you to see them for who they really are because you're just seeing that initial read, that initial vibe, that whatever you're feeling. And we can again take that and run with what it means, and it might not be true.
Yeah, so you're it really it's about being staying present.
It really is.
So and another thing you can do too, if you're really wanting to start to work on it a little more, deepen it, you can seek some feedback from your friends, somebody who you really trust, and see ask them about your emotional strengths. What do you think my emotional strengths are? And then reflect on their insights. So those are, that's something you can definitely do that to, and it kind of makes, probably will help your friend too, to know that you're really wanting to work on, work on yourself like that. So it's, it's a good opportunity to, for some self-improvement to share, right? To, ask for, feedback.
It is. It is. I wanted to say really quickly that Renee's joining us. Good morning,
Hey, Rick.
Renee. She says, "Good morning, Carolyn and Jay. Happy Monday."
Happy Monday, April 1st, and oh my gosh, we have to have our bags of tricks out, huh?
I
So that
know.
we.
I know. I just thought of. I can't believe it's April Fool's Day. Thank you for joining us on April Fool's Day, Renee, and all of you that are listening in.
I almost opened up with it's today is May 1st. So,
We're just fast forwarding a month. Just don't you worry about it.
rules. Anyway, so another thing you can do too with building yourself a little bit further is expand your emotional vocabulary. So using words like contentment or resentment or serenity or anticipation, disdain, melancholy, rather than I'm happy or sad, right? It's just it helps you really pinpoint really the strength of how you're feeling,
Well, and from what I
joy,
hear too, like you
support.
get more descriptive, like the person can better
Yes.
understand like what it is you're feeling.
And it's going to help you too, because you can go right to the source of exactly how you feel and really get it out. And I've had days where I wonder, I'm just feeling a little off, and then I have to really quiz myself on why I'm feeling off. So you have so you can it's a good way to really expose yourself, really to really know what you're up to. So get your dejected is another word. I feel really dejected, or dismal. I feel blue. I feel, ambivalent. So there's just a lot of words in there that really help to you to feel more on top of yourself.
Well, this is definitely where you can use Google or a search engine like that and have it help you come up with all these different kinds of words and these different categories.
Yeah,
So you can
practice
build a
it too.
list. Yeah, and you can start to, if you aren't sure what things mean on the list, it can give you a chance to look it up and maybe pick a word of the week that you start using in your vocabulary to just, like Carolyn said, deepen your ability to explain how you feel. Just that is a huge thing.
Yeah, you get an email from a friend, you can respond using your word of the week. So, if of course, but to have really helped them to know that they've been heard, right? And so you can deepen your, oh, I'm sorry, you're not feeling happy today, or you're feeling sad. Would really be a grief-stricken moment for me too. I understand what you're going through with that. That's just really heavy. It's heart-wrenching.
I mean, it definitely is someone that, if you can practice, that's great. If you can have a dear friend that you trust and can maybe share this process and what you want to develop and, yeah, team up and help each other because it is most helpful when you can use it in real life situations. and start to understand how it makes you feel when you're able to really communicate how you really feel.
Right. Yeah, so it keeps you in tune with self to share, and also keeps you in tune with the others, with your friends or work co-workers. And conflicts will come up a lot. Conflicts, just that's just part of life, where you have conflicts, in your on your path for the day or something. And so you have to also develop conflict resolution skills. And part of that means that you would probably develop a little bit more techniques such as I statements to express yourself clearly and resolve conflicts collaboratively. You might want to say, like, I feel, and then you would go with the emotion. When specific behavior or actions happen, and so I feel frustrated when you interrupt me during meetings. Might be an example, and then maybe you would say I would like, and then you would pick the particular action or behavior because of the reason for your desired outcome. Like, for example, I would say, like, I would like us to take turns speaking during discussions because it ensures everyone's opinions are heard.
Well, I love that, and I just want to say that in the process of doing something like this, you may notice you will also have to get used to what it feels like to actually say what you mean. And I say that because there's a lot of people pleasers listening. I'm a formal people pleaser, and it can happen, it can just fly out of our mouth being a people pleaser before we even think about it. And so if that's you and you're working on doing something like this, just know that part of the practice is getting used to being able to say it and feel what it feels like to feel the other person have whatever feeling that they're going to have and not feel like you need to do something to change it. Like part of the practice is letting them have their feeling and letting it be, is what I'm trying to say. Because we can go in and try to manipulate that, with the best of intentions. But it's still a manipulation when we're being a people pleaser. And so that's also the part we have to get used to changing and used to feeling different.
Right. It's about to yeah, it's about really speaking what you need to say in order to get the situation to transform. So I'm gonna just come up with a few little examples here just so we can kind of practice this in our mind. So say you want a particular outcome. Say your friend is late all the time, or the work buddy is late all the time. You could say, I need you to notify me in advance if you're going to be late to our appointments so I can adjust my schedule accordingly. Right?
Right.
So, and you get it out there. It lets them really think about that. It really affects me too. So you've got to learn how to kind of put it out. I'm uncomfortable with, and then you would say this specific behavior or action and the reason. I'm uncomfortable with personal conversations in the workplace because it can create distracting environments for everyone. It's just it's a way to really it's a necessary way to really express. I appreciate a specific behavior or action because. I appreciate you taking time to listen to my concerns during our meeting today. So that would be a way of saying it.
I love those examples, and
Yeah.
I want to jump in the comments really quick. There's more people coming in here. Catherine, over on One Two Listen, she's joining us, another advisor. Good morning, Jay and Carolyn. It's great to see you, Catherine. And Pamela is joining us. She says, Rabbit, rabbit, happy Monday, happy April Fool's Day, happy Mercury retrograde. Woo!
That's enough.
There's a lot going on. Pamela, or Renee says to Pamela, Pamela, did you have to remind me of the Mercury retrograde? LOL. So yeah, it's true, and we've been in the shadow for a couple of weeks, but I think we're finally here. And buckle your seatbelts, everyone.
That's well. Yeah. Some, I guess it's a an inner it's time to for inner self-reflection time. Is that really what this time is about?
That's the way I see it, like an inner, like to go back over things, almost like a rewind, like I can rewind and look at situations. And it's not just looking at what I can do differently or what they could do differently. It's, for me, it's looking for like the juicy wisdom that spirit can like wash over you or bestow on you if you allow yourself for that self-reflection time. If you allow that time to be really present and connect, it's the kind of stuff that it's the kind of wisdom, I should say, that just it washes over us in this time phase with a retrograde.
So the thing we can use it for is to cultivate emotional resilience. Speaking of,
Absolutely. Seriously, exactly what we're talking about. This is the perfect time.
yeah. So you know, and as you cultivate your emotional resilience, you can you're going to be able to embrace challenges and setbacks and failures as opportunities for growth and learning. And it's, even though it's like a sometimes a nightmare, you feel like you reframe your negative thoughts. You can reframe your the thoughts that you're having, and practice self-compassion, and you know, seek support during these difficult times too. So reframing thoughts is where I guess I wanted to expound, talk a little bit more about it. The practice cognitive restructuring. So,
How do you do that?
well,
I have one technique I'll share, but I'm so curious like how you do that in your world.
to support this thought, so. I'm just never going to get the job. I'm just never going to get the job. Is there evidence to support this thought? You may want to ask yourself. Are there alternate explanations or interpretations other than, you know, he hates me? So
Right.
you question your negative thought. What would I tell a friend who had this thought? They must be having a really good time. I'm just so mad that I wasn't invited. What would I tell a friend who had this thought? So you just you really engage in why you're there, and why and try and reframe it. You know, you can focus on solutions and positive aspects as well.
Ding, 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 ding. Solutions. Solutions. How many times do we get in our head and we get into the weeds about trying to figure out what the heck just happened or why did it just happen or who the hell are they to do X, Y, and Z? And I feel like those things can help us a little bit, to answer certain questions, but it's never really going to get us the answer we're looking for because it doesn't involve like the actual solution and really looking at everything from, yes, some emotional place, but also with logic and reason and critical thinking. And like what Carolyn said, being able to, if you need to, put yourself in the shoes of being your friend or the advice you'd give to a best friend, and then how would you turn that around and give it to yourself? Because sometimes we need to have hacks like that to get around our own blind spots and self-defenses and programs, our own patterns. And by doing this, the different ways Carolyn mentioned, it can really start to break in there and break into who we really are as at a core person, be it below our quirky personality, below our shell, our kind of defensive shell, to get really to the core of our personality so we can express that in our relationships and not a mask or not like a costume.
Right. So and then back to the negative thoughts again. Another thing you can do is what can I know this is gonna be you're having a really negative thought, and the first thing you do is what can I learn from this experience? But yeah, that's what you can ask. Rather than went wrong and ruminating on this and just hammering yourself. So what
Well,
can I experience, and what are the potential solutions or ways to address the situation?
and to your point, like if we don't ask that, we oftentimes won't get that answer. We'll get the answer that would be the pattern, the old pattern. And so another question I like to ask is, what is new for me in experiencing this again? Like, because sometimes don't you feel like, oh my God, I'm back here again. Oh my God, I have to deal with this again. And that is like, it's okay to have that moment. But in order to understand what's different, we got to ask our intuition, our higher guidance, what is new and different for me in this experience now? Or what is new in this experience
And
for
if,
me to learn now? Yeah.
as you're saying, if you're getting that again, you would, what are the positive aspects or opportunities that exist in the situation? It could be that you're, okay, I'm done with this now. Now I can say that I really don't want this in my life. Maybe that's a positive outcome. It's okay, that's happened again. So I'm now I'm going to take another path, right? So that's a solution. And it just took you a while to get it, right?
In time, it just takes what it takes. That's what I have to tell myself too.
Yeah.
Because I can get in the weeds about, oh my God, this is going to take so much time, or way more time than I have, or just, oh, I'm so overwhelmed by what this is going to take. And none of that helps. That's not a solution. That just is, again, has a way of keeping us right where we are, or it can overwhelm us so we do nothing. We become immobilized. So I have another little hack from one of my metaphysical teachers, and he had us put on like a loose fitting red rubber band, something that you can snap, but not where it's going to hurt too bad. Or not, it shouldn't hurt, but it could be a little bit just like uncomfortable. And where you have a negative thought, you snap it, and then you replace it with a thought you want to think. And so it's like a way to reprogram all those like passing thoughts. And especially the ones that we don't like or really aren't a true reflection of who we are, we can start to change them that way.
Yeah, so you might even have your mantras up, like I am capable and resilient, and I have the strength to overcome challenges, or I am deserving of love and happiness. So you can repeat in your mind. You're again practicing gratitude and positive affirmations. So when you have those negative thoughts, you can have some backup positives to give yourself and to remind yourself. Oh, that's right. I'm reframing, and these are the things that I'm really good at. So you can hold those, hold those close to your heart. So you're practicing empathetic leadership also, when you're really in the state of having this ability to connect with people with emotional intelligence. You encourage others by demonstrating the needs and motivations. You understand what your team needs, right? And you inspire trust and loyalty. And you foster a supportive and inclusive work environment through this too. So it's important to really practice it. And you practice it with yourself though first, because you want to make sure that your body and your mind are gonna get you through situations with friends and open up, a world of good and caring and connection. So practicing empathetic leadership is another thing. There's also social skills training I heard too. I never heard that they had done that, but I was just reading about that. Can you, that's something they should have in high school, social skills training and emotional intelligence workshops.
I agree. That should be like, that should
Yeah.
be like a class, like
One,
a something they teach as a basic.
like a home economics class, right? He said, really, oh yeah, today I have my social skills training class. That's
My
my
only
home.
fear of that is because of the developing minds and how people could sometimes get a little too powerful in that position with their own ideas. I think that's where it can get a little bit challenging of everybody's just different ideas of what this should look like, or kind of the basis, like the foundational information we should have. I feel like everybody would argue about what that should look like. So that's where I feel like it can get kind of difficult on who and when we should teach what. But I agree. I mean, I think we should learn how to manage a checking account. And I remember taking economics, and I remember them talking a little bit about that, but it wasn't like a main class like on finance. I didn't get that till college, and then it was more about like business finance. It wasn't about like personal finance. So I agree, there are some different kinds of ways that we could go further with our learning than they teach us at school. And I feel like that's what One Two Radio, One Two Listen, and One Two Academy honestly is all about, because I feel like we are all led in this direction because we didn't get that in school, or we feel it in a certain way, but it's hard to find other folks that we can talk to or connect with that are willing to share on this level. And also, not everybody even like communicates like this or wants to. So I'm grateful to be a part of this community where we can have this conversation and where we really do care about each other and growing and expanding and working out solutions and working and living our life from some form of integrity and value. So thank you to all of you listening in, and I'm grateful to Carolyn that she had this particular theme come up for us to talk about today.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a, there's, it's a really full topic. I mean, but the other thing you look for in a friend or somebody that you want to spend time with is, their adaptability, because emotional intelligence involves the ability to really adapt to the changing circumstances and they're flexible and they're resilient, and so that's a that's another. Thing that you want to look for, so that you can see that they meet new challenges and seize opportunities for growth. So it's an important aspect to emotional intelligence is adaptability.
Well, it's true. And how hard is it to be adaptable? It can be difficult, like for some of the more fixed signs, fixed makeup, it can be challenging, but it can be very rewarding to be willing to be a little bit more flexible and fluid with how you relate and connect to other people in your life.
Yeah, and even when something doesn't work out the way you thought it would, seize the opportunity to know that maybe there was a red light in there that you saw, and right, okay, that wasn't going to work out for me anyway. So you think, okay, so I'm gonna give these guys a call and see if I can, because it's all about connecting. Everything is about connecting, with others, so no matter what kind of line of work you do, it's about connecting with others to really be successful. So you have to really see where you fit really well, and understand that if something doesn't work, that there's other going to be other opportunities.
Oh,
So
isn't that the truth? The universe gives us plenty of practice, and I know that I was frustrated when I realized that whole thing as a people pleaser, and I was like, oh, I really do need to figure this people thing out, because it is important to understand that, yes, if you're going to get anywhere in this world, we have to be able to relate to other humans and be able to have business relationships, personal relationships, client relationships, all of that is like, in order to develop that, we have to be able to develop this muscle that we're talking about here today.
yeah,
Because,
so
yeah.
positive influence. You become a positive influence for people, and you're able to inspire and motivate and uplift those around you. And you lead by example. You foster trust and cooperation that way, and cultivate a supportive and collaborative culture. And it's like we so need more of that. So, we need people who know how to communicate rather than shoot a gun. I just stand that part. But
Right. No, I mean, that's true. It's important that we are able to communicate with our words. And if we have an extensive vocabulary, we can. It's when our vocabulary is limited, I feel sometimes we feel like we need to then go to the physical because it's like, oh, we need to teach them, we need to take this to the next level. But that isn't really what gets it done. You know, that isn't really going to necessarily create a long-term solution. Wars and fighting, it may solve or get to a certain kind of solution in the moment, but then, especially if it involves war and taking someone else's land or killing another culture's people, that's going to swing back the other direction. Of course it is. So to think that we can go do something terrible like that and not ever have it come back to us is ludicrous. So I think that it's also important for us to realize that when we are using our words to communicate on the level we're talking about, it doesn't always have to go to this like exponential degree of intensity of like where it is, it becomes a war. We can address these challenges and confrontational kind of energies way before it needs to get to that level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. If the other thing is too is to ex express thanks. So often we get on a troubleshooting call with somebody who's really helping you through something, or or you have some help with groceries even just. But you want to really make a conscious effort to express gratitude to others for their kindness and support or contributions that they've done. And it might even involve sending a heartfelt thank you note, or expressing gratitude in person or over the phone. And you can also do some random acts of kindness to show appreciation for others too. But really, expressing thanks is all part of your emotional makeup, and something you should be expressing. So mindful appreciation is another.
I love that. Just being able to be direct, you know, just be real and direct and authentic.
But yeah, and the other thing is too that I even forgot to mention was you also express you learn to express yourself. You don't let things build up. And you say it with with class and with style in order so that it doesn't build up, because you the more you stand up for yourself and you say things that you need or the direction you'd like to go with, the better you're going to feel about yourself. So you're not going to have your implosions as often.
I don't know, Carolyn, are you a former people pleaser? Did you ever have that issue?
I don't think that I've really ever had that issue. I don't think that I have. I can't remember having really done that.
I had a question for asking you that because I had a point I was going to make, and now after I asked you the question, the point I had just blew out of my head, so that isn't going to work. Because I did have a reason for asking you. It'll come back to me.
It'll come. It sounds like somebody's on the phone there. Is that a possibility?
I think that there is a something happened with my setting. Ooh,
Oh yeah.
oh dear.
Any cards or marbles or something?
Ah, I don't know what's going on with.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, so mindful appreciation is the other thing that I was going to talk a little bit more about too, and that's just take a daily pause. A daily pause to appreciate. Oh my goodness. Oh, you're playing now.
Oh, it is like going, haywire.
Go ahead. Yeah. But this also involves, for mindful appreciation, it also involves, really savoring a delicious meal, or just enjoying a stunning sunset, too, is another way that you can really be mindful of of the moments that you have, even when you're with yourself. You can marvel at the kindness of strangers, too. And these things, being mindful, the mindful appreciation can help you recognize and appreciate the blessings in your life, and really can tone down those negative thoughts too, because we've seen, oh my God, I have a really good tea this morning. This tastes so good. I'm so glad that I had this moment to actually do nothing else other than enjoy tea.
And that's so important to take those times out to develop that. If it's hard to appreciate or to be grateful for where you're at and what's going on, because it's part of it is the what Carolyn is saying in the how we talk to ourselves, but then also like really feeling it, like where it isn't just like words we're saying, but we actually feel the gratitude or the appreciation when we're feeling those things, when we're using those words. That's where I feel like it really like we take it all the way home, and where we really are able to like get the maximum amount of power out of that moment.
And you will, and you're fully inside of yourself so that you can be present, so all of these things help you to really stay, become a balanced person and stay a balanced person. So it's helpful to actually enjoy your world this way, when you're we develop this intelligence about yourself. So
True. Truth.
It's also too, I keep thinking, I keep going back to the idea of, just looking at some of your friends. What are your how what is your what are your friends made of? What do you enjoy about them? And see about whether you feel like you've improved with your friendship group over the years. So, and whether they're, if you're really in tune, you're going to have a pretty well-meaning friend, and you like their values because you've picked well, right?
So we have a comment from Chris, Diana. She says, "Someone's Wizard of Oz setting is on." Well, hopefully,
But it was
hopefully went away. Hopefully we fixed that. And then Pamela says, "Bah ha ha ha! Sorry that I mentioned Mercury retrograde. I have awoken the beast."
Yeah, well, gives you time to practice your emotional intelligence if you're not supposed to go outside and you're supposed to look inward. So that's a good side of
True. It
Yeah.
kind of it really can give us the feedback to let us know like kind of where we're at with what's happening.
So when did you feel like you started to develop yours, Jay?
For me, it's been layers. Like I feel like I've had different levels of emotional intelligence that I've developed where I've had to see it from my perspective, see it from other people's perspective, also see it from both, like do a lot of these different practices that we mentioned today, and also integrating and making my peace with some of the patterns and traumas that was there that I had to heal, that this kind of stuff didn't bring up, but that had to be faced before I could find the kind of healing I was looking for, or being able to like break down a pattern that I was having trouble with. It's been a process, but I feel that even though there's a part of me that wants to look at it from a linear perspective, it really is like in circles and in like cycles where I come back around and it's like a spiral. I feel like we can either be spiraling up or down. And this emotional intelligence and putting effort and energy there has helped me continuously overall spiral upward. And
You
I've
come
learned.
back to tools. You come back to your tools in your mind. Oh yeah, something that I can not react to so heavily with because I have that ability.
And look at like, when we really start to look at our reactions and like where we really are with our emotional outbursts, if we're having them, or if we keep getting hurt, in the same kind of situations, like where are we like kind of super wounded, so to speak, or where we have a festering wound that we really need to have a more TLC, for example, and be able to learn how to offer that TLC to ourselves, just as we would to our best friend or our family member, but learn how to do that for ourselves and turn it inward.
Because some of those, some of the, you know, some people just have this innate issue with really pounding themselves to death. So self-care is so important with this, with emotional intelligence and really tending to yourself as if you're your own best friend. And so it's imperative to build the self-care and really concern for yourself. So
Right. And I see them as moving targets. Like they aren't something that we can set and forget. It's something that we have to keep working at and fine-tuning and making little adjustments here and little adjustments there, depending upon what's happening in our life and what kind of challenging experiences might be coming up for us, or what might be coming back around, so to speak, in that spiral. And how can we set ourselves up to move through that and be able to respond versus react. I think that's another way to look at this. Like reactions are like snap judgments. They're quick. We don't even think about them and they're happening. Usually not how that is usually not coming from our balanced mind, from like a mind, body, spirit perspective, when we're reacting, especially from a highly emotional place. When we're
Yeah.
responding, we have a chance to like be present, be in the moment, take in where you're coming from, take in where I'm coming from, and then I respond. Like that's a whole different place to be moving your life from.
Yeah, and if you're having to go up against somebody who's really flying off the handle, it's you can use your tool to just stay, sometimes just be quiet and let them go, because that way you have a hold of yourself, and it's not going to upset you as much that you even get involved in the screaming match or whatever that is going on at the time. So, and through listening too, sometimes you're gonna understand what they're experiencing a little more and maybe tone down the situation a lot faster. Because, the more you try and match the extreme, the more extreme the extreme becomes.
Exactly, like a pinball machine effect. No,
Right.
you said something that's very profound. Get a hold of yourself when we need to get a hold of ourself. And that is what we're working on when we're practicing what we're talking about today, is learning how to do that on our own, where we aren't relying on a partner to do it for us or for a best friend to do it for us, where we're learning how to do it for ourselves. We may get the support from a best friend, we may get the support from a lover, but we aren't relying on them to do it for us. There's a difference.
Right.
And so that's, yeah, that's a biggie. Because when we do get a hold of ourselves in that regard, it's like there's a certain kind of way we are not controlling, but we get a certain kind of autonomy over ourselves that we don't have when we have these parts of us that can get so wild or so intense that they can almost as if they have a mind of their own and they can take us over.
Right. So it really is an intentional effort to really bring out the best side of yourself. And I feel like the people that really stand out to me in my mind, through the years have been the quiet ones. Because they've you have no idea really sometimes what's going on there, but it's like, but you just assume that they're hearing it and they're understanding it. Because there's just something about sometimes the power of just shutting up.
Deep
So,
listening, deep listening. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
yeah.
And I feel like we definitely have that skill in spades, those of us that are on the lines. But it's something that we might have an inclination to, but have had to really fine tune and practice. And I want to say that to those of you that feel gifted or know that you're gifted. And I don't always like to use that word because everybody can kind of have a different charge around it. But just because we're gifted, doesn't mean that we don't have to practice. think of a cello player, like a or a master pianist who like a prodigy kind of like kind of child star kind of thing where they just seemingly pick it up out of nowhere. But it takes lots and lots of practice to fine tune our abilities. And so I would just want to say that too. Like we can be psychic or we can be, very intuitive, we can be very empathic, and then we can hold it against ourselves that when the heat is on, so to speak, and we don't have our ability in a place where we can trust it or where we can rely on it, that's where the practice comes in. That's why we need practice. So we know what it's like while we're in that life experience and we get the real world practice. Just like a football player or basketball players, they have pre-games or not pre-games or practice games to be able to do that. So my point is none of us are just amazing with no work or no fine-tuning. And so I just share that to temper your critical thinking mind if it's attacking you left and right, like giving you some ammunition to be able to counteract that really hard, harsh part of yourself.
Yeah, so find your write up your, in fact, when you're feeling better about yourself, that's time to write out your slogans about yourself. This is a fine human I am, you know. I really know how to make people feel better and make myself feel better. I'm just really good at that, you know. Write them out. Write out your slogans about yourself so that you can replace them. Bless you. Goodness. Yes. Well, yeah, that's neat. Should we start to wrap a wrap?
I think it is time for that. I can't believe it's already 53 after the hour, and Mark's coming up next. And where can everybody find you, Carolyn, during the
Yeah,
week?
on 1-2-Listen, I'm here from 6 o'clock until 4:30 usually every day. And if you can't get me or Jay on during the hours that we're on, you can also put in a scheduled call request, and we will get you as soon as possible, you know. But we look forward to hearing from you on the line.
Yes, we love working with everybody one-on-one over on 1-2-Listen. It's an amazing thing that we have going on here between 1-2-Radio, 1-2-Listen, 1-2-Academy, 1-2-Reports. I think there's even a 1-2-House. There's so many ways to be able to interact with not only us individually, but also with the site on an astrological level. And there's also the gratitude board over on 1-2-Listen. That's also a free place to put the things that you're grateful for. And also the things that you're working on for us to be able to energize them as a collective group. All of us that are the advisors on 1-2-Listen, we energize your things that you're grateful for. And we do that to build up the energy and bring more of that. So you can,
Beautiful.
like Carolyn said, you can find us all week. Don't hesitate to use the schedule an appointment button. I have a few radio shows throughout the week that you can find on the schedule board over there on 1-2-Listen, or excuse me, on 1-2-Radio.com. And I'm so grateful that we got to have another great show together, Carolyn and I, as well as getting to be with all of you listeners. Thank you for joining us.
And practice emotional intelligence this week.
All right. this Mercury retrograde is going to give us lots of practice, I have a feeling.
All right. See you next week.
All right, bye everybody.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight. With Carolyn and Jay, conversation so bright, in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.